Hey, Alan, Elise here, having a look at your newest revision of your outline. Great stuff. I think, honestly, Alan, everything is tracking really, really well in terms of the way the story is developing. I have really virtually no issues with the order of events and how things are happening. I'm pretty sure I'll check my notes as we go along. I am still going to give you some pushback about the narrative device. I see what you attempted to do with the couch. I'm not sure how you're feeling about it. It's not really working for me, and I'll explain why. you establish a couch, Dan's on the couch, and then Harry sits down on the couch for just a second or two, and then when June starts up, she starts on the couch, but then she leaves, and she does her narration not from the couch, and Tom chimes in not from the couch. And so right away, before you've even gotten through everybody narrating, you've dropped the premise. And then you still have these big, big, long, long sections where there's no narration. And then as we get particularly into the second act, it's only Dan and June who are narrating. And by the time we get close to the end, it's only Dan and June. So it's just, I'm still not seeing, and what's throwing me too is that Dan, I love the fact that when Dan is first sitting on the couch, he says something about how this wasn't his greatest triumph. His greatest triumph was something else entirely, which is, you know, a hint that the audience won't know quite what it is yet, but they'll know that it's something to watch for. And knowing the ending, I know that what he's hinting at is that this is what led to him being with June. What that means though, is that he's sitting on this couch from a point of view in the future, right? Looking back at the history of the band leading all the way up to him being with June, right? So he's narrating from an omniscient future viewpoint. But that's not how all the narration works, especially the narration from the other people, especially, for instance, I mean, I could quote many instances, but in particular, for instance, there's a point when Harry's narrating later and talking about how excited he is about his new relationship with June and how it's revitalized him. So he's clearly not talking from a future viewpoint, because if he were, he would know that the relationship was going to fall apart. So it's confusing to me. Are some of them, you know, from the omniscient future, and some of them not? Why are they in different places? And why do some of them just sort of do a little bit of narrating here and there, but not really much? So, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to choose to handle this narration the way you want, but it just feels to me like it would make the most sense to have it be only Dan and June that are narrating. Don't tie yourself to a couch, because then they can start narrating whenever they want to, and they don't have to go sit down on a couch to do it, and we don't have to worry about what time period they're in. When is this interview happening? Is it happening in real time, or is it happening after this whole story is being told? And June could do a similar kind of hinting about how, you know, she didn't know how her life was going to change, and then you could choose the moments when they narrate, because there are moments in the story that if they'd gone a different way, Dan and June wouldn't have wound up together. So they could continue to hint about that, you know, this was a turning point moment, and if he hadn't showed up that day, or if he hadn't left the room and for June and Harry to spend some time together, maybe things would have happened differently, if this, if that, and still making it vaguely hinting the way you do without coming right out and saying where you're going about their relationship, but making it clear that both Dan and June are speaking from some kind of a future omniscient position, and they have a reason to be telling this story and to be narrating it. Otherwise, the others, Harry, Tom, Zoe, and Charlie, don't have a reason to be telling this story and aren't clearly put in any particular period of time. Are they looking back over the formation of the band? Are they telling it in real time in a series of interviews that happen in real time? I can't get a handle on why they're doing it. So it just doesn't seem, you know, it seems like you're working really hard for something that isn't buying you anything. Let's see if I have other notes, because that's really, you know, pretty much my big note. I wrote here at one point, I said, I wish that only Dan and June were narrating, and that June also hinted at something better coming in the future, and only eventually do we find out it's about them getting together. Okay, so here's let me go through and see if there are any other things in terms of the storytelling that are at all an issue. In your scene 3, when June starts narrating and says that she was at that gig at the ESPY, it was the first time she'd seen the debutantes, but she was blown away and knew they were special, introduces herself and explains that this, quote-unquote, is a year before that gig. So she sets me up to think that the scene that she's in is a year before, and then the next thing I know, Harry, Zoe, Charlie, and Dan walk into the diner, and it seems like it's right after that gig, not a year before. Now, my assumption is that what you're saying is that June is starting her narration a year before and telling us about how she, you know, what she and Tom were doing that got them to the moment of right after that event. But I think that's a little confusing. It makes it very difficult for me to follow the timeline. That because there's nothing in particular, there's nothing but narration happening in the year between it. It's a year before that event and now it's the night after. So I found very confusing. And even, let's see, there's something that makes it even more confusing. Let's see if I can find that moment. Doesn't Tom say something about how he was at the gig the night before? And I'm like, wait a minute, the night before? So anyway, I think you know what the timeline is, but I think that having her say that this, quote unquote, is a year before is just causing unnecessary confusion. That the moment that Zoe and Charlie go sit on the couch and narrate about how, you know, they're willing to stay out of band strategy, it suits them fine. I see no reason why that information couldn't come out, why they couldn't say that to Dan and Tom as they're discussing whether or not to make offers to Tom and June. It doesn't seem like information that needs to come out in a narrative moment. I do like some of the stuff you added that made it very clear that Tom and June are already in a bit of trouble and that Harry knows that. So the fact that Harry sort of pursues June, he doesn't seem, you know, too douchey about that, because it's clear that June is already pretty much over the relationship with Tom, and she makes that clear. Let's see, what else do I have? You have the whole bus section. I like what happens. I like the idea that they're on the bus and there's a different driver and a different passenger each time. I don't see that it needs to be an extension of the couch. I don't see that it needs to be narrative. They're on tour and there's a montage where whenever one person is driving and another person is riding shotgun, they have these sort of confessional bonding moments where they talk to each other about things. I read each one of those things and I didn't think there was anything in there that needed to be narration instead of a moment like that. Everyone else on the bus is asleep and these two people are confiding in each other and bonding. I didn't see why it needed to be narration. A question in general, when you're notating the names of songs here, at this moment I'm looking at scene 7, where it says he tries to defend, she always knew he wasn't a saint, it doesn't change the way he feels about her, other girls don't mean anything, too good, to be good takes a long time, to be bad, no time at all. Is that, what the question I'm asking is, I know you have that you have a sort of a songbook of stuff, and is the intention that some of the songs all of the songs in the show are from the songbook, but some of them are officially diegetic songs that the band sings, and some of them are musical theater songs that are the characters in the moment? That's just a question I have, because it's not clear to me when you simply put a song title whether you mean that to be a diegetic moment or a musical theater moment. So just wondering about that. Let's see. When Dan starts to narrate, you know, midway through scene 10, when it says back in the couch, Dan narrates, I just wanted to point out that there hasn't been any narration since the bus tour, which means there hasn't been any for 7, 8, 9, or the beginning of 10. And I think there wasn't any prior to the bus for quite a long time. So it makes sense for Dan to start to narrate now, because again, this is a turning point in the story he's actually telling us. He has a story to tell us. Here's how June and I got together. you know, we don't know that until the end of the day, but he has a reason. And so now, and the fact that you have him saying he's looking back wondering if he'd voted, how would he have voted if he hadn't thought June's songs were up to scratch. So this is a perfect part of Dan's story. This is Dan saying, I'm looking back on how June and I got together. It could have gone differently at this moment. And I think June could have similar moments. And again, I don't think that necessarily means, any more than it does here, that we know that he's starting to have feelings for her, but we don't know where it's headed. Well, and then you have a second couch show up, and I thought, I think you're working so hard on this couch idea, and I just don't see what it's getting for you, especially because you've already had narration happen that wasn't on the couch. And anyway, I feel like I'd rather hear from June at this moment. What would have happened if she hadn't been left alone with Harry at that particular moment? Because that's what started their relationship. You're scene 11, Harry's bedroom, where he's narrating what was happening in their relationship at that point, and she is too. I think this would be a much more interesting scene if it was a scene between the two of them. And again, this was the spot where I said Dan is narrating from an omniscient future, but in this scene, Harry's and June seem to be narrating from the present, so I get confused about the conceit of the narration. If Dan and June narrated the end of the act, what might that be instead of just one or the other? Act two. June has a, what is that? Didn't they travel both ways? Previously, June has already alerted us that she's pregnant and that she's having problems with Harry. She's feeling weird about it. So I'm not sure why in your scene one of Act Two, there's absolutely no indication that there's anything. You even say that the only sign of trouble is that June notes that Tom is unsteady. So it seems odd to come back after the drama of the end of Act One of, I think my relationship is falling apart, but I'm pregnant with his child, and then sort of no reference to that. In scene two, why is Tom on the couch and from what vantage point? I just don't know what his narration there buys you. It felt to me more like in this scene, in scene three, that this would be another reasonable spot for Dan or June and or June to narrate because they're reaching another potential crossroads in their relationship here. Because he now knows she's pregnant. So the fact that he knows and he knows it's going to affect what's going on in the band, this is a perfect moment for one or the other or both of them to narrate about this being another turning point. Let's see, end of scene three. That last sentence where you say, this is clearly hard for Dan to hear, but he does his best to be happy for his friend. Again, I think that could be portrayed better if he were narrating that moment. Or at least he could be more overt about it. Scene six. Are these meant to be real-time interviews, not from the future? Why is it Harry now? I'm just continuing to be cranky about it. Scene seven. The end of scene seven. I thought this is a perfect opportunity for Dan and June to comment on how this was another turning point. What if the band hadn't gone to the U.S., you know, et cetera, et cetera. Sorry, no, I'm a broken record now. Scene eight. Oh, you explained to me here this is the mid-80s when most people don't have cell phones. June finds it easiest to call the only person in the band with a cell. All I would say is it's not useful for you to explain that to me in the middle of the outline. What you need to do is look back. The reason I ask questions like that is not because I need you to explain it to me. You need to look back at what point, like, for instance, when they're talking about going overseas and June is worried about it, how's she going to stay in touch? Dan can say, well, I have a cell phone. You can call me anytime. So that's what I'm asking. And the outline is establish it at a point where it's useful. And then when she calls him at this moment, there won't be a question to answer because we will understand it. Still feel like I didn't get any pre-information about June's relationship with her family. It shows up that there's an issue in scene eight of act two. And I just honestly feel like there's got to be somewhere, especially in June's narration, where she could mention something about it. I'm not saying we have to meet her mother, but that she could at least talk about her relationship with her family. Or she might talk to Zoe about it when they're talking about relationships and how they feel. She might bring up you know, her home life in some way, so that you plant some seeds, and it's not the first we hear of it in scene 8 of Act 2. In scene 9, it's a little awkward that you need that this time, when she first calls Dan, we see both of them, right? This time she calls Dan, but we only hear him, we don't see him. Now, I know that that's because you want him to be appearing at the door in a moment, but it's a little bit awkward that the first time there was a cell phone, we got to see him when he was talking, and this time it's a voiceover, so it doesn't seem consistent. I know why you're doing it, but I know story-wise why you need to do it, but I don't know convention-wise why it makes sense to have a different convention. And again, I'm not sure that's even necessary, because, for instance, it could be staged that, you know, a pool of light comes up on him. We don't know where he is, so the fact that he's, you know, outside her door, it could become clear to us in a moment, but we don't have to know when a pool of light comes up on him and he's talking to her on the phone. We don't have to know that where he is. So I'm not sure it needs to be a voiceover in order to still get that surprise moment that has arrived. I wonder if we couldn't have had a narrative moment from Dan prior to him, like, so in the previous scene when she first calls him, if he could have a narrative moment about how he knew he had to do something, he had to do a big grand gesture, or he had a big plan or something. We don't know what it's going to be, we'll find out in a moment, but it might be interesting to see when he looks back, because that's what's happening, right? If you're narrating from the future, you're looking back and saying, that was the moment when I got the idea that I needed to do a grand gesture or whatever. Okay, I think when you get to the end of scene 10 and it's all June narrating about the baby and Dan staying with her, I wonder if there couldn't be a dual narration here about both of their points of view about what's going on. It just might, as we're closing in on the end of the show, it might be useful to be hearing from both of them. If you look back to the moment, where was that? I made the note here, but there, earlier when Dan was talking about how he doesn't like touring, a tender moment, but where is that? He can't get a hold of her. Oh, right. It's in scene 10 in the hospital when he says that he hates life on the road. That you could expand that a little bit and have a real bonding moment there between Dan and June when Dan says he hates the road and he knows how much she must miss it, and, you know, that having the baby is going to be a problem, and that would give her an opportunity to say, no, you know what, I thought I would miss it, but now I don't think I will, so that we can start to get the sense, again, it's not a, you know, we're falling in love moment as much as it is, we have more in common than we thought kind of moment, at least on her side. I think Dan already knows it, obviously. I think for that final moment, you know, that I already gave you grief about, where she just shows up on the stage, it would be more useful to me if you set it up, like with a narration even, because no one's been narrating for a long, long time except Dan and June, but they might, sorry about the airplane, they might have some final bit of narration before that final scene, where they talk about how, you know, how happy they were together, and but occasionally, you know, June still got to perform, or they still hung out with the band. I don't know, something to set us up, because otherwise the final moment of them together watching the band playing the tune, they're watching a videotape and they're together and the baby's crying, is such a lovely little ending. And I totally get that you want to end on a bigger moment of the band playing, but I think you could set it up for us a little bit. So bottom line is, I think that other than my question about June saying that her section at the beginning, that her section is a year earlier, and that was throwing me. I don't think, I think the story is working well in the order that everything is going in, and I am continuing to question I think you're making the conceit of the narration too difficult, and I would really encourage you to go back and think, what are you trying to accomplish with the narration? Why are they narrating, and what is being accomplished? And to me, the easiest answer is two people who eventually wound up together look back over what brought them there. And I just honestly don't see how Tom and Harry and Charlie and Zoe fit into that, because it's not their story in that sense, and it's not the story they're telling in their narration. So I would so encourage you to just think a little bit harder about why do you need narration? What is it accomplishing for you? And I think that'll help you come up with an idea of, should you dump it all together get rid of it altogether, because, you know, you don't 100% need it. Should it just be June and Dan? Or if you're really committed to the idea of it being more of them, then I think you need to make them more involved, and you need to make a stronger decision about, are they telling this after this is all over, or are they telling it in real time, and why are they telling it? And involve them all more. For me, it's like, I don't think you want it, but I don't think you want to straddle the fence and have it be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I think you want to make a strong decision. So I'm sorry I'm being a broken record about that, because otherwise I think the show is in good shape, although of course I don't know how the songs fit in, but that's okay at this point. The storytelling is working, and it's just the narrative conceit that I think really needs a hard look. So that's that, and toodaloo.